Chapter 10, Artists of New Bedford. In the pantheon of great painters, New Bedford proudly boasts many of its own. On the pedestals, alongside national and international giants, artists including Albert Bierstadt and William Bradford dominated their respective genres, were courted by leaders of nations, and were powerful influences on the American art scene. Much like Bartholomew Gosnell, Joseph Russell, and Joseph Roach before them, they must have surveyed the bays and inlets of the region, though with a very different intent. The fact that New Bedford and Fairhaven became welcoming havens for artists should be self-evident. Men who dredged their fortunes from the sea became patrons of the arts. They collected paintings and supported artists, and an appreciation for art was cultivated. With financial support assured, a promising local painter could trek the time-honored path to study at one of the great art schools in France or Italy. William Allen Wall was able to travel to England in 1832 through the generosity of the Roaches, Arnolds, and Grinnells. Albert Bierstadt was initially supported by Captains Thomas Nye Jr., William Blackler, and by whaling merchant Edward C. Jones in his quest to further his artistic skills by traveling to Dusseldorf in 1853. Born into the prosperous Nye and Swift families, Clement Nye Swift began his artistic journey to France in 1867, and William Bradford offered the shelter of his Fairhaven studio to the Dutch immigrant artist Albert van Beest. Lemuel Eldred studied at the National Academy of Design in New York and the Académie Julienne, the largest private art school in Paris. Clement Nye Swift studied at the École des Beaux-Arts, a highly sought-after government-sponsored school in Paris, and later exhibited some of his major paintings at the prestigious Paris Salon. New Bedford artists traveled with other well-known creative minds during their time. In 1870, Robert Swain Gifford traveled to Europe and North Africa with Louis Comfort Tiffany, 1848 to 1933, a fellow painter who was inspired by the sights, colors, and cultures of North Africa. Tiffany, however, moved from painting toward the decorative glass and metalwork for which he became famous. A Tiffany Favril glass mosaic in the sanctuary of the First Unitarian Church in New Bedford was commissioned in 1911. In its time, it was the largest and most intricate work of its kind in America, requiring more than a year to complete. The Mosque of Muhammad Ali, one of Cairo's finest landmarks of Islamic architecture, was the focus of Gifford's 1873 painting that won a Medal of Honor at the 1876 U.S. Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Gifford's last significant journey was to Alaska with the Harriman Expedition in 1899. Organized by railroad magnate Edward H. Harriman, the expedition invited prominent writers, scientists, and artists such as Gifford, naturalist John Muir, 1838 to 1914, and photographer Edward Curtis, 1868 to 1952, to document the native peoples and natural history of Alaska. Likewise, William Allen Wall studied with Philadelphia portraitist Thomas Sully, who recommended that he continue his studies in Europe. There, Wall met fellow American artists and writers, including Ralph Waldo Emerson, 1803 to 1882, and the prominent journalist Nathaniel P. Willis, 1806 to 1867. Shortly after Albert Bierstadt returned from his artistic travels in Germany, Switzerland, and Italy, he organized the first major art exhibit ever held in New Bedford. In the summer of 1858, the New Bedford Art Exhibition was enthusiastically received, hoping for results in the cultivation of taste in this community, as stated in the Evening Standard, July 8, 1858. The exhibition catalog described 150 paintings, many of which were owned by well-known local residents, with surnames including Arnold, Parker, Clifford, Ricketson, and Nye. European artists and local artists were represented, as well as some noted American artists of the time, including Sanford Robinson Gifford, Frederick Church, William Trost Richards, and Jasper F. Cropsey. With prosperity came leisure time and a broader wealth base. Toward the end of the 19th century, visitors arrived in New Bedford during the summer to enjoy the area's scenic coastal areas and cool sea breezes. As Old Dartmouth's summer communities blossomed, the demand increased for an artistic recording of this magnificent, unspoiled land and sea. Local artists such as Dwight Tryon, R. Swain Gifford, Harry Nayland, Louis H. Richardson, and Clifford W. Ashley provided views of the moorlands, marshes, and local harbors. Although each painted in his or her own style, either following impressionistic techniques or the methods of German or French landscape artists, they were following in the footsteps of other American artists showing their reverence for nature. Albert Pinkham Ryder, a unique and groundbreaking New Bedford artist, was inspired by the North African works of his friends R. Swain Gifford and L. C. Tiffany, and painted a number of Orientalist pieces after traveling to Tangier in 1882. Ryder developed a distinct style that anticipated the shift toward the abstraction of modern art and a looser Barbizon style of natural landscape painting. He was the only American to be exhibited alongside Matisse, Gauguin, and Van Gogh in the 1913 Armory Show in New York. Chapter 10, Profile of Clifford Warren Ashley. Clifford Ashley, 1881 to 1947, was born in New Bedford as the city was experiencing the pains of a dying whaling industry. However, to Ashley and his friends, the wharves were full of fascination. These formative years suggested to the artist many of the subjects he would later paint. While studying at Howard Pyle's Brandywine School in Wilmington, Delaware, Ashley began to gain wider recognition for his artistic abilities. Pyle sought commissions for his students' illustrations. Through this avenue, Ashley's work found its way into books and magazines. In 1904, Harper's Monthly gave him a commission that led to two of the most important works he ever wrote or illustrated. They asked him to do an article on whaling with narrative and illustrations. Accordingly, he sailed aboard the bark Sunbeam to observe a whaling voyage firsthand. The voyage supplied the background for his article, The Blubber Hunters, which ran in two issues of Harper's in 1906. These articles became the first two chapters of his subsequent book, The Yankee Whaler. Ashley continued to work in painting and illustration until 1913. At this point in his career, he decided to focus on painting. He spent the next few years recording on canvas the islands of Buzzards Bay, scenes of Cape Cod, and the waterfront of New Bedford. Ashley spent his later years working on the other important publication in his life, which derived from an interest in knots and was also initially inspired by his voyage on the Sunbeam. The Ashley Book of Knots, first published in 1944, contained descriptions and drawings of 3,854 knots. The book has received such acclaim that it has been reprinted multiple times, with revisions as recently as 1993. 1 year after its publication, though, Ashley suffered a crippling stroke and died 2 years later at the age of 65. Chapter 10, Profile of Albert Bierstadt. Albert Bierstadt, 1830-1902, was one of the most famous painters to have a connection to New Bedford. He gained great recognition during the rise of the first American school of art. In the second half of the 19th century, his name became synonymous with the depiction of the glories of the Western landscape in art. Bierstadt spent his childhood in New Bedford. At some point before the age of 20, he made the decision to become an artist. By 1850, he had established a studio in the city. His artwork was well received and gave him the financial backing needed for a trip to study abroad. After returning home in 1857, he made his next goal the formation of the New Bedford Art Association. Soon afterwards, he organized the first major art exhibit ever held in the city of New Bedford. In 1859, Bierstadt began the first of his journeys to the West. It was during the 1860s that he gained his greatest acclaim as an artist with his grand paintings of the Western landscape. Yet, criticism of the now-famous artist's work began to grow. He was accused of making overly large and pretentious canvases and relying too much on the techniques of the Dusseldorf School of Painting. The public was now in tune with the Barbizon School, and the sale of Bierstadt's work suffered. To support his expensive lifestyle and his wife's care, she was in declining health, he was forced to invent various schemes for marketing his paintings. In 1893, after his wife's death, he turned his energies to the establishment of a National Academy of Art in Washington, D.C., and sought out the socialites of the day for large contributions to the institution. Chapter 10, Profile of Robert Swain Gifford. Robert Swain Gifford, 1840 to 1905, was born on the Elizabeth Islands off Cape Cod, but grew up in Fairhaven. Poor health did not permit him to engage in any strenuous physical labor on the docks, but his interest in maritime subjects began early. Famous New Bedford artist Albert Van Beest, 1820 to 1860, and William Bradford, 1823 to 1892, were working on the city's waterfront at the time, and Gifford had the good fortune to become a friend and student of Van Beest. The young artist followed Van Beest to New York City. He returned to New Bedford in the late 1850s and subsequently made trips with sculptor friend Walter Ricketson to the Adirondack Mountains and Grand Manan Island off Maine in search of subjects for his paintings before moving to New York in 1865. In 1867, he was elected an associate of the National Academy of Design, and in 1878 he achieved the standing of an academician. In 1877, he accepted a position as a teacher of painting in the Cooper Union Schools. He began a long and successful career with this institution, becoming director of the Women's Art School in 1896 and director of all the art schools from 1903 until his death. One of the first artists in the country to employ etching as a technique, he helped establish the New York Etching Club and also became a member of the Royal Society of Painter Etchers of London, England.